The Holy Gospel according to the 13th chapter of St. Matthew, beginning with the first verse. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got in a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell upon the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures it for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord. I invite you to please be seated. Okay, Bob, one more click. Awesome, thank you. So our theme this Lent is our brokenness. Brokenness as in spiritually, physically, as individuals, as a congregation, a community, a church, a nation, as a world. Jesus in the boat tells the crowd on the beach and us the parable of the sower and the seed. In the parable, he states, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. Now, I'm sure we can all say that at some point in our lives, everyone has been misunderstood. Is that a fair assumption? Maybe someone asks us for directions somewhere who doesn't have a GPS, and they end up going miles away from their original destination because they misunderstood the directions. I would be that person. I'm very directionally challenged. GPS is a wonderful thing. And I tell you, even if I were not to have it and say, how do I get somewhere? If you give me directions that are like, go down the road about a mile and a half till you see where the old red barn used to be, that was torn down about 40 years ago when you didn't live here, and you turn left, and then you go down the road to where the old blue truck used to sit parked by the side of the road, that would be more helpful to me than if you said, go down a mile and a half, turn on Whatchamajiggy Street, make a right, and go left. It's hard. Directions are hard. The same happens when we're given directions how to do something. Sometimes we just can't get that message conveyed what we need done, and it ends up not right. Or those other times when we say something to another person and they misunderstand our tone. That ever happen? Why are you yelling at me? Wait, I wasn't yelling. I was just excited to tell you something. Or maybe they take what we say as being rude or thoughtless, and then they have hurt feelings, and it makes a weird tension between ourselves and that other person because of that misunderstanding. It's really, really uncomfortable. If you were to read the book or have read the book Pride and Prejudice by author Jane Austen, there's a scene where the character Elizabeth says to Mr. Darcy, "There is, I believe, in every disposition a tendency to some particular evil, a natural defect, which not even the best education can overcome, and your defect is a propensity to hate everybody. Ouch. To which Mr. Darcy responds, and yours is willfully to misunderstand them. That willful misunderstanding sometimes is happens to us when we choose maybe not to give somebody the benefit of the doubt. Right? That happens. We just jump to our conclusion and misunderstand right away. Other times we just misunderstand what's said because it's new or challenging to hear these ideas or these different ways of doing things, and we just can't get it for whatever reason. Now this Lent, we're going to follow our Lord through his passion, and if we pay attention, we'll see the different roles that misunderstanding plays as Jesus moves toward the cross and we go with him. In fact, if you think about it, throughout Jesus' ministry, he's misunderstood a lot. Now, our favorite scribes and Pharisees, those people we really try so hard to like, but we can't. They do everything they can to misinterpret Jesus' teachings. The people, Jesus tells us, lack the understanding to grasp his parables. They misunderstand Jesus as a miracle-working bread king, able to feed the people, right, by the thousands and lead them to a new golden age of prosperity, but really that's not quite where he's going. In the Passion story, we see how Jesus' own disciples run away, and they leave him to suffer all by himself. At the end of the scene where Jesus is arrested in Gethsemane in the garden, the Gospel of Mark tells us they all left him and fled. And a close reading of Jesus' ministry in all four of the Gospels will teach us repeatedly that the disciples just didn't understand him. Think of Peter and all the questions that he asks him all the time. They just wanted to understand, and they couldn't. We're told that they did not understand him, and when Jesus predicted three times that he would go to Jerusalem and suffer, die, and rise from the dead, they didn't understand. He used the figure of a shepherd, like in our own window there, to describe his relationship with the disciples and the people. And we're told that this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. And I really think they wanted to understand, they just couldn't, because it was such a weird and new concept of the things that he was talking about. Palm Sunday, the Gospel of John tells us his disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. So again, some more misunderstanding. In the time when Jesus is just about to wash Simon Peter's feet in the upper room, Jesus says to Peter, "What am I doing? What I am doing, you do not understand now. But afterward, you will understand." Jesus knew what it meant to be understood. The fact that his disciples deserted him when he needed them the most can be credited to the fact that they never really got Jesus. They misunderstood him, and they misunderstood his mission. And in their misunderstanding of the parable, they were fulfilling the parable that Jesus tells of the seed that falls on the path and gets devoured by the birds. As Jesus put it, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This was what was sown along the path. But here's the thing. It changed for the disciples. They finally understood Jesus after his atoning work. "Afterward, you will understand," Jesus said. At supper with the disciples from Emmaus in Luke 24, Luke tells us he opened their minds to understand the scripture. Now, for us and for others across the world who open their Bibles to learn the secrets of the kingdom, to understand Jesus' word, understanding comes for us the best when we know and we trust as Jesus, as our Savior and our Lord. In times we might question his wisdom, his justice, and our losses, its pain especially, we can misunderstand his love and power because we're just tied up in the pain and the loss and can't see beyond it. This is part of our brokenness as humans. We just don't understand sometimes. This Lenten season, when we look at our brokenness, we'll create a piece of art as a part of our weekend worship services, so Saturdays and Sundays, that will portray our brokenness in a very visible way, in a way that words just can't describe. And I'm going to ask you to trust me, as this piece of art's going to unfold each week. And we're going to move closer and closer to Easter, when the whole thing will be revealed. So next weekend, I have some homework for you. Next weekend, I invite you to bring a dinner plate or a saucer to worship. Now, the plate needs to be made of china, porcelain, or stoneware. It can't be like corral or plastic or anything like that. It has to be something that's the china, porcelain, or stoneware. And I'm going to say this a whole bunch of times so you know, you're not going to get it back. You're not going to get the plate or saucer back at all. So it's got to be something that you're willing to part with, that will be incorporated into the piece of art. So if you bring something that was your great-grandmother's and it's your favorite and fabulous, thank you very much, because you're not getting it back. That's okay. I'm not asking you to bring your great-grandmother's favorite something-something, unless you want to. Again, you're not going to get it back. And if you don't have something that you're willing to part with in your cupboards or whatever, you can go to a thrift store and find a plate or something or a saucer that you like with different colors, or maybe no color. Or you can go to the dollar store and find something there. Whatever you feel you want to bring that you're happy to get rid of and never, ever, ever, ever get back. Ever. 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 It will become a part of the artwork. And also, if there's an extra one that you have that you want to bring, or you see something nice that you want to donate for maybe someone else, feel free to bring that also. Going to be interesting as we take a look at our brokenness. So our brokenness as humans, those misunderstandings that we have of what Jesus tells us, we might wonder if all of his promises are true at times. But when we consider what he has done for us, his suffering in our place instead of us, his death and his resurrection, time and again we trust him. And in that trust given to us by God's grace, we all have the power to look the devil in the eye and say, "You may not take this word from me. It's mine. I understand it, and it's true, and I will bear fruit." Amen.